welcome to 216, a Link to the Past randomizer podcast. I'm your host, Fear Agent. Thanks for joining me this week. Turn down your bass, because this week we've got Daze Cloud on the show. And between him and me, your bass might be rattling a little bit. It's a really fun show with Daze. In fact, it's the longest show that we recorded. Every time I talk to the guests, we get to the hour mark. I'm like, man, we should just keep going. And for the first time, we did it. We just kept going. So Daze is the first 90-minute episode or 90-minute conversation that I've had. It's just such a good guy to talk to, and can relate to him on a lot of different levels, and just a really fun, interesting story that I'm excited for everyone to hear. So we've got that coming up. League registration opened up today, and it'll be going through the week, so get your teams registered. Don't think there's a cap this year, so all the teams that they can fit in, go ahead and get registered. There's still room to find teams in the league Discord as well, so check that out if you're needing to find a team. Really interested to see how the Invitational shakes out, how many teams are returning, and how many teams get called up from the Open. Should be a good time. The 216 Weekly was this past Saturday, as it is every Saturday, noon Eastern, over on twitch.tv/fearagent_. Of course, anyone can join. The mode this week was League Itemizer, chosen by last week's winner, Moogle Charm. We restreamed Ninjembro and Matcap, and it was a really good time. The Itemizer wasn't as bad as I was hoping, especially since they had those boots with the League Itemizer settings. And no real crazy deaths happening early on. It was a pretty fun seed. Don't want to spoil it. It is on the YouTubes as well, so check that out. Posted a link to that in the 216 Weekly Spoilers channel of the Discord. We're in the final week of the Cross Keys tournament. I am currently 5-2. We'll be racing Gilgamesh Monday night, attempting to go 6-2. And then all 6-2s will be racing for 9 spots. And I think 12, I think was the number that I saw. 12 6-2 runners are not going to make the brackets. I'm not sure if I'm going to be 6-2. Very, very possible that I end up 5-3. Same as I did last year. But I have thoughts on 12 6-2s missing out on the brackets. Not a big fan of that. I understand not all 6-2s making it in, but if over half of them don't make it in, I feel like something went wrong in the planning stages. There was like almost 200 people in this tournament, and they only take the top 16. I think the admins needed to reevaluate either the length of the tournament, maybe making Swiss a little bit longer, or expanding the brackets, because I haven't even made it. I haven't even made 6-2. But if I make 6-2 and then I'm bottom 12, you know, number 10 overall in the race, it's just a real feels bad. I'm just not a big fan of that idea. I get not wanting to have a super long bracket system. I get it. You don't want to make the tournament too long, but I think you have to adjust when the interest is that high. Having almost 200 people and then taking only the top 16, especially when you cut it off at 6-2, I don't know, it just doesn't sit well with me. So we'll see if I get a play in the play-in race, and let's see if I can make it there first, and then what will happen with the play-in race. But I feel bad for all those people that do go 6-2, all 12 of them that qualify for the 6-2 race and don't make it into brackets. I don't know, don't love it. Don't love it. Love Cross Keys. I think the admins do a great job with the tournament. This isn't a smear campaign or a smear job on them. I just think this was an oversight. You know, the Cross Keys mode itself has just grown in popularity. And, having almost 200 people participate, I don't know if they were anticipating that. Hopefully they adjust for the future. Chaos Boots tournament going on. Not too much to report there. Chloe Power is one of the first into the quarterfinals, winning over Coin Chaser. And Hitsu also into the quarterfinals over Foxlisk. So that's moving right along. There is a new tournament that was just announced by the 40 Bonks crew. And we'll have a link to the Discord and the tournament document in the show notes. It's called the Kabukitational. Kabukitational. I think that's right. Kabukitational. Something like that. It is Kaz Boots All Dungeons. So standard start. You start with a sword. You start with the boots, and then you do all dungeons. The tournament's capped at 40 people. It says group stages will last for an entirety of 4 weeks, starting on Monday, September 12th. And then the bracket matches are best of three with double elimination. Document isn't super clear on exactly what's going on. I think it said groups of five. I don't know. I think the document needed a little bit of fine tuning, because there's a lot of information that's kind of missing. Like, how many games are you playing? What's going on in the group stage? Hopefully you can find all that information out in the Discord if you have interest in running this. I wish them nothing but the best. We'll see how many people register. Right now it's capped at 40, and then they want to keep it divisible by 4, something like that. So lots of tournaments going on with the league just starting as well. So I have no idea what the turnout is going to be for this. We'll see how it goes, and we'll cover it as it happens. So Daze is on the show today, and we had a really fun conversation. I feel like I use the word fun almost too much. I need to come up with a better adjective than fun. But this truly is like a real fun interview. Daze and I are similar ages. We have way different experiences with him being in Korea, and we go into all of that, how he got there, his gaming history. But we relate to each other on a lot of things. Daze is just like a really good dude. I really love like shooting the shit with him. And that's kind of what this is. And it does kind of go long. We get to the end and I realize, hey, this is just too much fun. And I've been cutting my guests off. And with Daze, I couldn't cut him off. I just wanted to keep going. So we go 90 minutes. I apologize that it's longer than the other ones. This isn't going to be a regular thing, but Daze and I were just having too much fun, especially coming off of the episode that he hosted with me. So it was just a good time. Yeah, enough of me. There's plenty of days. Let's get into it. All right. First of all, I have to thank you for stepping in and filling in, I guess, my shoes and doing the Fear Agent episode with me. That was all your idea as far as coming in and guest hosting for me. And I can't thank you enough, man.
I mean, kind of my idea. Somebody else said, hey, why don't you get someone to like fill in for you like one week? And I was on vacation at the time, and I just happened to be checking through, and I was just like, well, you know, this sounds like fun, you know, I can sit here, come talk to you for a little while, you know, so I sent you a quick message. I didn't expect you to say yes, honestly.
Oh, really? Of course.
I figured you'd get somebody else to do it. I figured I wouldn't be the only one to offer. But when you said yes, I was in.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have... The whole thing was kind of a surprise to me. I never expected to do a Fear Agent episode. And I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know who to host it. My pride, I guess, didn't want me to ask anyone. I don't know. But if I was to ask anyone, like my number one ask would have been you for sure.
Okay.
Because this is not a joke. You, as far as like who you are as a person, you know, we don't know each other super well, but we've been in the community together for a long time. Who you are as a person is somebody that's super positive and always like helpful and kind. You got an awesome voice, and I love when you do commentary too. So it's like, it's like the trifecta right there.
Oh, well, I mean, that's kind of you to say, bud, but I mean, like, I don't know. I just,
basically, when's the Daze Cloud podcast? That's what we need. That's what I want. I need the Daze Cloud podcast.
I've thought about it once or twice, but I can never come up with something that, you know, that I actually wanted to, you know, spend a lot of time doing and figure out the tech behind and all of it. It's a lot of like figuring out the tech behind it. And I'm just like, no thanks.
I get that.
You make it look so easy, bud.
No, I don't know about that. Do you get people that say or ask you if you do radio or anything because of the tenor of your voice? I mean, you just got that like, you know, quality sound.
All right. So honestly, first time that anybody ever said anything to me was when I first got to Korea. Nobody ever said anything about my voice. And then one day I had arrived in Korea and I just met a couple of other people that I was teaching with. Right. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I was reading the horoscopes to the people in the room. I don't know why I was doing that. There was just like, hey, can you know, you're looking at that newspaper there. Can you read me my horoscope? And I did it. And I remember this girl just going like, oh my God, I could listen to you read anything. I was like, wait, what? Because I mean, I can't hear it. Like to me, I just sound like me. Like I don't hear my voice, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And She said that, I was just like, wait, what? And from that point on, I never really thought too much of it. I mean, I guess one of the things that helped me get my wife over is she liked my voice.
Nice.
So, I mean, hey, yeah. I guess that's a plus,
that's
right?
That's a positive, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And, but I don't know. I see, I've actually kind of wondered about that. Like, if somebody had said that to me, like, when I was in 20 years old or something like mm-hmm. that, because I'd gone to school for journalism back in the day. Like, okay. I originally, when I went to school, I went to University of Missouri, and I got into their journalism program, and that's the top journalism program in the country, apparently. Wow. According to some list, right?
Okay.
And I got in and immediately decided I didn't want to do it. Just because it was like, I think I ran into like a teacher or something, and they were like, okay, one of the first things you need to know about journalism is you might have to start writing obituaries. And I was like, wait, what?
Oh,
that
wow.
doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah. No, not at all.
And oh, I was like, man. I want to go do like sports radio or something like that. Or I want to go, you know, that's what I want to do. And right about then, I just remember like looking around and just going, no, I don't think I'm going to do that.
And so it would have been nice if someone had noticed that you do have this voice that's made for radio. I mean, your voice is made to be on the radio. I could hear you call. I don't know if you're a sportsman, but you've got a great like play-by-play voice. You know, I could totally hear you calling the, you know, the Seattle Mariners game for me and
Colorado Rockies, bud. Come on now. Okay. Get it right.
All right. So that's where you're from. You're originally from Colorado?
Yeah, I'm from Denver originally. Okay. Kind of, yes. Yeah, I mean, I moved all around.
Well, it sounds like it because you're the only, as far as I know, the only rando runner in Korea, right? Like, is there anyone else
over there? I have never met anybody else. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I met one guy one time who was in Japan. I met one guy, I think, who was in the Philippines at one point, but I think he was just like visiting, or maybe he was in Taiwan. That's right. He was in Taiwan. But like, these are just like people that I meet randomly. Like, I play them like one or two seeds and then they disappear. So like, I like for the longest time, I kept joking that, you know, what we're going to do here just to mess with everyone is it's going to get me, Julo, and Tam. We're going to team up and we're just going to screw all your schedules up.
Yeah. With Tam and Julo being in Australia. So
almost did that last year, but it was almost going to be me and Julo on a team last year. But I wanted to stay with leftovers for another year.
Sure. Can we talk a little bit how you got to Korea? I mean, we don't have to go into every personal detail or whatever, but you said you moved around a lot. Were you playing? You were in the Denver, Colorado area, and then you said you went. Was it Missouri? Where you went to college?
Okay, so. I'll give you the quick and dirty. Born in Denver. Basically spent the first 10 years of my life there, right? Mm-hmm. I guess 9 years of my life there, right? Around my ninth birthday, my dad comes home and says, "Hey, we're moving to England."
Oh.
Yeah, my dad was a contractor for the military. So, so next 5 years, I'm in England, and not like London, but we're talking North Yorkshire. So, like guys like Structural Mike and Obscure, they'll know what I mean, right? This is middle of nowhere England, and even then, I'm in the middle of nowhere of the middle of nowhere.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I'm at this one tiny little village here called Pateley Bridge. And I lived there for 5 years. You could literally run from one side of it to the other side in 5 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a bit of a shock.
So this is like your 10 to 15 year old age growing up. Was it lonely?
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, I mean, I went to a school on the kind of military base there for the next 5 years. But like after school, if you weren't hanging up there at the base, you didn't get to really see anything. So what would happen is me and my sister, we'd go home and we'd play games. We had a Super Nintendo. Hey, guess what game I played?
I'm guessing you played a little Link to the Past, my friend. A little Link to the Past.
Yeah, a little bit. It was a little bit there. That Street Fighter, Mega Man was, you know, like those were the big three that I played. Like it was Street Fighter, Mega Man, and Zelda, right? So we played a ton and ton and ton of that. And I, you know, I remember playing, doing like in my mind, which were called like no death runs, which I guess turns out to be NMG.
Sure.
At the time when I was 10, right? Like when I was 10, I would go and just blast through Link to the Past. And I think that's when I part of the reason I got back into Rando, I was just kind of like, oh yeah, I used to play that all the time when I was a kid. But that's
so how good were you at those no death runs?
I think I got to like 4 hours.
Oh, okay. At one point. You know what? That's not bad. That's honestly, that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about like, there's no tutorials, there's no internet, there's, you know what I mean? You're just figuring out the game on your own, especially where you're at, you know, you're really alone. It's just you and your family and stuff.
Yeah.
I'll take a 4 hour run, man. That's not bad.
It wasn't bad. No. I mean, I think I knew what it was. Kind of knew what I was doing at the time, I guess. I don't know. Sure. But after that, right? So we moved back to Denver after that, right? So we go from a school where my freshman class was 21 people, and we go back to Cherry Creek High School in Denver, which my sophomore class was 1,000 people.
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
culture shock, right? Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. So I go from watching like British TV and a whole bunch of other stuff and to American TV with like 1,000 people. And all of a sudden I'm just going like, wait, what's going on? Like my mind is blown. Spend 3 years there, graduate, go to Missouri for school. Spend 5 years there because, you know, when you change your major halfway through, all of a sudden, you know, things get a little screwy. So, yeah, I added a year on. Graduate with education, move back to Denver, spend 3 years there, realize that I don't really have any reason to still be here. And I've always wanted to go out to Asia. At the time, it was just kind of Asia. So I was looking at Japan and Korea. And then Korea just honestly, at the time, it really had the best perks, I guess, if I'm being honest, there in like 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I moved out here.
Okay. And you said you weren't married at the time, right? So was that a little bit easier then if it's just you?
Yeah. Cause I remember what had happened. I was coming out of a long-term relationship at the time, and it had blown up spectacularly. And I remember looking around at one point and just kind of going like, well, taking stock of my life, right? So 2008, that's also when we had that first real big market crash, right?
Right.
I wanted to be a teacher, right? But I hadn't been teaching for a little while. I had been working as a call center at the time because when I moved to Colorado that time, I had my advisors in Missouri were like, yeah, sure, you'll get a job, no trouble there. You get a teaching job, no trouble. They were wrong. There was a lot of trouble.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Yeah.
So I was substitute teaching for a while, which is as fun as you think it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I had to take, you know, another job there. So I was basically kind of working at a call center for one of those like online colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal. Just brutal. I got no better ways. I met some good people, But yeah, it it was rough. So we were there. And so I remember literally just looking around and kind of going, well, I'm learning to play ice hockey. So I kind of got a hockey team. I've got my parents and I got a couple of friends from school. Is there any reason why I shouldn't go and take a chance here? Like, is there anything really holding me down here?
Yeah.
And the answer was, nah, you should go ahead. Give this a shot. What the, you know, what's the worst that happens? You're out there for a year, you come back and you get things going, right? That's worst thing that can happen. So that's, so I and honestly, you know, for pay and everything else there, it was going to kind of be reasonably competitive for what I would do here at the time. So I was like, yeah, okay, sure. Why not? Let's do it. Let's see what happens. And I've been here 14 years now. So that's
so
what
it's
happened.
Stuck. Yeah, so it's definitely stuck.
A little bit.
You didn't teach. Did you know Korean when you went there?
I don't know Korean now.
Really? So you live in Korea for 14 years and you still don't speak Korean?
Okay, I mean, that was half me joking. I can speak Korean. I can speak Korean, but my Korean is unfortunately terrible.
Okay.
Like, it is unfortunately terrible.
Yeah.
Because of reasons, right? Namely, working a whole ton and my entire job is structured around speaking English.
Right.
And everyone that I'm around out here just takes one look at you and goes, you speak English. Let me try to talk to you in English. Your Korean is obviously like this. I've had conversations where I start off speaking in Korean. They'll answer in English.
Oh, wow.
And then I'll be like, all right. And it'll be like, how stubborn am I feeling on that day? Right. And I'll go, okay. All right, I'm going to continue in Korean. And then they continue to answer me in English. And I'm just all right, fine, you win. We'll do English.
That's good.
Yeah, so like when I was taking Korean classes for a while out here. And at that time, my Korean was actually respectable. All right. Mm-hmm. It was respectable, but it's like any muscle. Like if you don't use it, it falls apart and it's fallen apart.
Oh, man. All right. That's crazy. So let's kind of jump into the gaming portion of it. You talked a little bit about A Link to the Past. Was the Super Nintendo your first system?
I had the regular Nintendo first. Yeah. Okay. I'm a total Nintendo head. Like I had every Nintendo up until I got my PlayStation 2. I've played pretty much all of the mainline Zelda games except for, if I'm being honest, the regular Nintendo, I never, for the NES, I never had Zelda. I never got into Zelda on the NES. I tried playing that years and years and years and years on emulator. But, so I like, honestly, my favorite game when I was a kid was Mega Man. All of the NES Mega Mans. I just played them repeatedly. So much. And then when I got my Super Nintendo, then I got Zelda, I got Mega Man, I didn't even get Mega Man I didn't get Mega Man X. We rented that from the little like video store there.
Okay. Right? All right.
And so that I would rent the Mega Man X there. But when I wasn't doing that, I remember before we moved to England, walking into an arcade and seeing Street Fighter. Right. Mm-hmm. Seeing someone playing Street Fighter 2. Street Fighter. Oh, yeah, of course. Seeing Street Fighter 2 and just immediately being like, what? And I remember, I think what it was I saw someone playing as Dalsim and his arms stretched.
Yeah.
And when you're an 8-year-old kid, his arms stretched, man. Are you kidding me?
Totally. Yeah. That was so cool.
I immediately fall in love with that game. Fall in love with that game, right? So I remember the Christmas that I knew I was getting Street Fighter 2 Turbo for Super Nintendo, because I remember I saw it I saw, because I mean, I had been bugging my parents about it for years. And I saw it under the Christmas tree and I knew it was there because I had, because I, when they weren't looking, I had snuck over and opened the corner of it just to double check that it was it.
Yeah.
And, that's awesome. So yeah, I played that for ages. I went all the way up to top difficulty with Ryu and yeah, beat it. And
it's such a good port of the arcade game too, dude. It was a little surprising.
So incredible, man. So incredible. And you know, and I got really, really, really good at it at one point. For I got really good at it that I could tell.
Sure.
You know?
Right. You weren't playing, there was no online. You're playing in a really small town. So were you playing, did you have some friends that you'd played it with, or were you just beating up on your sister?
Honestly, my sister stopped playing me.
Took it too hard.
So it's literally just chuck it on, you know, chuck it on seven stars and go for it. Uh-huh. Right?
That's awesome. And, that's super fun.
And yeah, so that's what I did. And
so you stuck with Nintendo then through that until PlayStation?
Up until PlayStation. Yeah, up until I don't remember what it was. I want to say it was honestly my sister who had a PlayStation at one point. Like she had gotten a PlayStation for some reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, yeah, okay, whatever, sure. And then I think what it was is she had Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, okay.
And if you can look at my name, you might understand. Hey, I wonder where that cloud came from. Oh, that's where it came from.
That's where it's from. The day's cloud is
100% where it came from. Yeah.
Nice.
Because I instantly was just like, oh, this is now my favorite game of all time.
So I imagine you've played through Final Fantasy VII a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm and currently playing remake? Through it right now with my sister. Not the remake. Because what comes up here is like at some point, you know, like the new systems, I haven't bothered to get them just because I want them.
Sure.
But I also kind of feel weird talking to my wife and be like, hi, I'm a 39-year-old man who wants a new video game system. No, we should not buy my daughter those new things. We should buy me the new $500 game system. Yeah. So I have a little trouble trying. I have trouble. Like I make jokes with my wife about like, hey, I'd really like a Switch, but I always kind of leave them as jokes because in my head, I'm just kind of like, I do really want one.
Yeah, man.
At the same time, I was like, I got other things I need to focus on, right?
We
got
to get Days to Switch. I think we need to do a new fundraising goal on 216. Get Days to Switch.
Nah, I think we're going to get one here pretty soon. But don't worry about it. Thank you, though.
All right. So you stick with, you're playing through video games through college, through high school. How's that going?
Well, it's going well. Yeah, so like we get to, you know, through high school, we play Final Fantasy, you know, at home, it's Final Fantasy VII. It's, you know, you get your Nintendo 64, you pop in Ocarina of Time, and your mind is just blown. It's like...
Blown, yeah.
Zelda game like this, oh my God, it's incredible. Although I will say the Skulltula sounds there, man, to this day, make my skin crawl. Yeah. Don't know what it is.
It just creeped you out or?
Oh yeah. It's the sound. It's that sound. Yeah, it's just like, I just remember being surprised by them. Like I was in my basement, right? Playing the game. And all of a sudden I had like, I think it was in Shadow Temple or something. You get those surprise Skulltulas drop out of the ceiling and you know, first time it happens, you're just like, God, Jesus. So we would play that, right? And play a whole bunch of stuff there. Get into Smash Brothers, get into everything, right? Moved to college, roommates, we got really big into NCAA football.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like we would play seasons like against each other, like everybody would take a team, right? you'd take a team and then you'd play all the way through the thing up until the bowl games. And then you'd have like recruiting wars against you, against each other and stuff. Cause you'd have the recruit. Yeah. We did like this whole thing. We That's played awesome. There. There was an arcade at the school as well. And I spent, way too much money there.
Sure.
They had both, this is a shout out to Dante. They had DDR. And I got really into DDR for a while.
Wow.
I also they had Marvel versus Capcom 2. And
it's addicting.
Dear God, those two games probably sucked hundreds of dollars from me in school. Like I'd go and I'd work. I'd go and have my little part-time job. And I think most of my part-time job money went to that. You know, not great.
But it was so great. Like you think back on that time and just how much fun you had, right? Like those Marvel versus Capcom 2 is legit. Like that game is legit. I understand spending a lot of time playing that game.
It's not
probably the joy that comes from playing that game as well. And if you're good at it, right? Like did your Street Fighter 2 talent translate into the arcade at college?
Oh, yeah, it did eventually. It did eventually, you know, like you get your butt whooped a few hundred times and then you finally learn how to not to get your butt whooped. But man, I played that so much. Like I to this day, I can still remember the day that I got a 55 game winning streak. I can remember, I think I probably was in that chair for something like almost 4 hours at the time.
So now we know the real reason why you went 5 years to school and not four. You said it was a major
pretty
change.
Pretty much, honestly. That might be it. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad.
That's too good.
Games are addicting. Yeah, that's the moral of the story there, right?
I mean, that's why we're here, right? This addiction to this randomizer game. So when did you discover Twitch?
Oh, that's hard. Honestly, I was I kind of knew what Twitch was at some point, right? Okay. I knew what it was, but I don't think I ever loaded up a Twitch stream. For years and years and years and years and years, right? What ends up kind of happening is I've heard all of these stories about how everybody else gets in there, and I've thought about it, right? So I guess we'll start with this is the dazed rando journey part of the thing. So I get started with I got into long plays. At one point.
Okay.
You know, like
on YouTube.
YouTube, you know, let's plays, long plays, you know, stuff like that. So I got into watching those, right? And okay. I think at one point, I think the algorithm probably kicked over, like I was kicked over to like an AGDQ, like Mega Man run. And that hooked me immediately. I was just like, oh, dude, look at what they could do in Mega Man. Oh, that's amazing. So that's, of course, what I watched.
Were you watching long plays of Mega Man games? Was that the primary focus?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit of long plays of Mega Man games. But then I got into the speed runs of Mega Man games, and it was like, forget these long plays. These are slow. Let me see the guys go fast. And then I got into a lot of like YouTube, you know, like content creators, right? And I remember what happened. At one point, I watched it was Pro Jared did a Link to the Past randomizer seed, right? Mm-hmm. He did one of those. And that was my first introduction that this even existed.
Okay.
And I saw that and I went, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did, you know, spent... little bit of time trying to figure out, okay, so where do I go to do this? Right. And I think that was my first time where I had like maybe downloaded Discord for something, but I don't even think I like tried to make a post or anything on it. I just kind of like played a couple of seeds on keyboard and was just like, oh yeah, this is fine. This is fun. I remember I kind of got bored with it because it was one of the early builds. And okay. I think there was a seed I was playing. It was like, I want to say it was probably just a standard whatever. And I remember, I want to say like Uncle dropped me the butter sword.
Mm.
And it was just like, well, this game's easy.
Yeah, that's awesome. So this is very early. This is before progressive items. This is when
you could get the mitts. Yeah.
Yeah, before the gloves and the butter sword.
It wasn't Pro even Jared. Something I was thinking of racing at the time.
Oh, okay. Because right? You found it, you said from Pro Jared, that this was on YouTube. This wasn't on Twitch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how long ago this is. I probably should have looked it up before we started talking.
It's got to be like early 2017, maybe late. It's got to be
a long time ago. It was a long, long time ago. Like, this was before the, you know, the Andy Christos stuff at AGDQ and all of that stuff. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, way before all of that. So I played that for a while, and then I just put it away. And I was just like, yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it was fun. Mm-hmm. It was a fun thing, and it didn't really get its hooks into me. And then I think I was really bored one night, and I was just like, oh, you know what? That randomizer thing was kind of fun. And this is probably like a year, maybe 2 years after. Probably a year after, right? Or 6 months.
Yeah, probably. I'm guessing probably around 2018 then, right?
Yeah, something like that, I'm guessing, right? Yeah. And I remember I got on YouTube and I was just like, well, I'm bored and need something to watch here. And I remember I searched like randomizer and speed gaming. I want to say it was probably the Key Sanity tournament popped up there. And so I started watching those and then I started getting really into those. And I all of a sudden at one point, then I realized, wait a minute, wait, we can play as different people. Like, you don't have to play as just show me old Link again. That's awesome. So I went back to the page and I saw that you could play as all of these sprite options. And I was just like, what? Oh, that's amazing. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. I love this idea. And I was like just scrolling through it. And I think I don't know why, but I was like, Twilight Princess Zelda. All right, cool. Let me give that one a shot. And So that's how I ended up started playing with her. And then that's what I've just kind of gotten hooked on, you know, and then I started playing. I got my ordered just a USB controller offline, and it was surprisingly, I picked the one random USB controller online that was surprisingly good quality. And I started playing and started playing and started playing
Was that Key Sanity your introduction to the idea of racing the randomizer?
Yeah. I didn't know that racing was a thing, right? Mm-hmm. I figured I'd just be watching some other streamer do some sort of Let's Play. I probably, in another world, end up on like Andy's channel because, I mean, everybody does, right?
Right.
And watching him do it. But I ended up on Speed Gaming's YouTube site and watching through all of, you know, all of the tournament there into the finals and stuff like that. And then going through and trying to play it myself and starting to kind of think about times and stuff and getting everything ready. And I didn't really think about racing it myself for ages. And I think that's what kind of led me into eventually having to do Twitch and everything like that is at some point I decided, all right, I gotta know.
Yeah.
Let's race one or two of these and figure out like what goes on.
Yeah. And this is the SRL days, right? This is,
oh yeah,
the big group races. And
oh yeah. This is the giant page of instructions for somebody who's not actually, you know, computer savvy, just looking at it and just horribly overwhelmed with everything. Yep. and muddling through and being able to set up the IRC, you know, the hex chat, everything else. And you know, God, man, race time is so nice now.
It's so nice, man. I don't even have hex chat installed in my computer anymore. Like,
same here.
I had it specifically just for racing Link to the Past randomizer. And when race time came around and became the norm, it was like, adios. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That was such a headache just to like get into it. If you're not familiar with, you know, IRC and all that goes into it, it's not user friendly.
God, the 5 second like timeouts. If you mess up your password, good luck.
Yep.
It's like type in your password in 5 seconds under pressure. Oh, geez. Oh, God. Did I hit shift? Yeah. I mean, that's just not right, dude.
So yeah, I agree. So tell me about those first experiences racing. How did you do? Was that then what hooked you into the game? Was the ability to be competitive?
I'd say that is this like, okay. So like for ages, I just played by myself. Right. I didn't really set up racing or anything. Right. I don't think I started racing until I could like sub 2 a seed. Right. So it was a long time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a long time because I was like, I don't want to just start racing and then just get blown off the map you know, an hour. And then my first seed that I ever do and I ever finally, you know, race. And I want to say like, it was Data World was in that seed. And I don't know if you're familiar, but he was great.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say he was in there. I want to say Data Plet was in there too. Cause I want to say it was like, I had Data World and Data Plet in there. And I'm just like, well, how do I have two? Are these the same people? Like what's going on here?
You know what? When you guys all first were around, I definitely confused the three of you a lot for sure.
Yeah.
because it's just so common.
Like who are these guys? Right.
Yeah.
And I was in with like one other guy and, I want to say, I think I'm right. I might be wrong there. I know Data World was in there because I remember he finished the seed that my very first race, he finished the seed in like 120. And I think I took 220.
Okay.
And right about then I just was like, okay, we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
We got a long way to go.
And you know, what's funny is back in 2018, there wasn't the mentor tournament. There wasn't all these YouTube things to like, learn how to get better. There wasn't even a lot of the NMG tutorials quite there yet. I think Andy might have had an early one, but it was kind of had to like get into the community and just kind of like learn from people. It was a lot different learning back in 2017, 2018.
It was just watch a seed, watch someone else play, go, all right, let me try to do it how I think they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then do it there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just, I eventually got to the place where I was respectable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we end up, at some point I end up joining I knew I wasn't main tournament quality by any means at the time, but I think I ran like one or two qualifiers and they were at, as usual for me, completely horrendous times. And I got absolutely crushed on one. Like I made a bad decision on it and just absolutely got crushed. So I was just like, you know what? Not even trying to qualify. Let's play Challenge Cup. See how we do in Challenge Cup. And this was the year where you got to choose your settings, right?
Yeah.
So you get the wackiest stuff in the world. And I ended up doing really, really well in my group. I went like 8-2 in my group. And that was me going, oh, I guess I can play a little. Okay, cool. I go through the bracket stages a bit. Ended up losing to Walther in like a third game, a series where both of us last located a mirror on Fighter Sword Vitreous or something stupid like that.
Fun.
And yeah, it was great times. And so at that point I was like, all right, I think I can do this a little bit. And then some guy named Fear Agent posts something and it says, hey, we're starting a rando league. And I go, oh yeah, that looks like it'll be fun. I'd get killed. I'm not going to join. And I thought about it for a few days. And this isn't like, you know, isn't like today where, you know, rando league and everybody's like, me. And it was more like everybody's right. A little bit like, you know, okay, yeah, this looks cool. Yep. We maybe give it a shot. Mm-hmm. I didn't have, like, and me being kind of where I am, right? I don't get to play co-op with people.
Right.
Time zones suck.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm, it's not like I had people that I would just immediately like, cling on to and just be like, we're joining a team. Nah, that's not how it happens, right? So what ends up happening is at one point I go, I can't remember if I posted first or Top Life posted first, but one of us posted first saying, hey, we're looking for a team. And then I think one of us after that said, I am also looking for a team. And then Mystic goes on and says, hey, you guys want to make a team? And we're like, yeah, all right. And that was how the Leftovers got formed.
Were you guys the last team to join the league that first season?
Quite possibly. We were either last or the one before that.
It was pretty close. So and you didn't know your teammates?
No.
Had no idea who they were. And then, not only that, but you've got three different time zones for the teammates. So you've got, I think Mystic might be East Coast, I'm not sure.
Central, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got Central over in the
top lights in Norway.
Yeah. And then you've got you in Korea. So how did that first season go with that sort of schedule?
So it wasn't that bad because the first season wasn't co-op heavy. Mm. Right? The first season we only had the 1 week of co-op. And that week wasn't too bad because what's kind of funny is I'm basically on the opposite side of the world from America. Mm-hmm. So for me to make an American schedule is luckily my job doesn't start until the afternoon out here because I teach after school, you know, academy here. Right.
Okay.
And so I have my mornings free. This is, you know, so this is why we're talking right now. It's, you know, it's like 10 a.m. out here for me. So, you know, 9 p.m. in America, Eastern time is 10 a.m. here for me. So that's why this entire thing works for me. If I had a normal 9-to-5 schedule, I couldn't play.
Sure.
There'd be no way.
Yeah.
So the co-op isn't too bad with Mystic, it wasn't too bad. With Top, it was a complete disaster.
Because then not only do you have to consider your time zones, right? But you got to consider your opponent's time zones, which can also be a little wonky as well. So that's a bit crazy. So you're still pretty new to the community to racing, but you personally end up going 4-1 in the league that year. And season one of the league, if you look at the names, was basically the Invitational, right?
Yeah.
You beat Jam in week one. You beat EDM in week three.
Right.
You and Mystic ended up losing to the Drifters.
Right. Of course, as you do.
And then
week five was Duke Firebird and Cross Keys. Week six was Trinex in whatever the mode was. I forget what the mode was.
Yeah,
in week
I don't
six.
Remember the modes, but
open.
4-1 though, that's, I mean, you got to be feeling pretty good. Like, hey, I've kind of arrived, right?
Yeah, no, I can legitimately point to that first match as probably the reason why I'm still playing. It was the screwiest upset ever. Because it's freaking Gem, man. I remember getting our schedule and seeing that week one we had I forget what their team name was at the time, but it was
Team Ack, 4K Gem, Fourth and Forehead.
That was it. Right. It was Ack, Gem, and Korek, right?
Yep.
And just all three of us looking at that team, looking at that, going, well, yeah, we're probably not going to win, aren't we? And like, yeah, we're. There's a pretty good chance. pretty good chance. Well, you know what, boys, we'll go out, we'll do our best. And Mystic almost beat Colrec that week. It was crazy. Like Mystic almost got him. Colrec pulls away in the tower, but it was a great race. And so I remember everyone, you know, I remember kind of, you know, us kind of looking at each other going like, wait, can we hang? I think we can hang. I think we might be able to hang. Can we hang? And then I remember I get Jem on a Saturday night here, and I'm just going into the seat. I'm like thinking in my head, I don't think I'd been on Restream more than like once in my life, honestly. And so I'm just like, I am pumped. I am ready to go. Let's do this. You know, and like in my head, I'm already working through the interview and just been like, yeah, you know, Jim's a great runner, you know, and I mean, this is what I expected to have happen. You know, like him beat me by like 20, 30 minutes. This is just like, you know, I'm practicing like being interviewed and stuff at the end there. In my head, I go, there is a chance you could win. I mean, there's a chance. It's really unlikely, but there's a chance.
Yeah,
and I can remember that race because I'm in. I'm like, all right, here we go, and I get the stuff, and I remember why I won. I remember 100% why I won. Like we get what you got there is you get all your stuff to go into Dark World, but you also have a hook shot, right? And you have a choice. You can either go to Swamp, or you can go up the mountain. Now, the probably right play was what Jem made, which was to go to Swamp. I went up the mountain. I go up the mountain. I get Mitz in Paradox Cave, right? And that was about it, I think, up there. But I get Mitz. But I get Mitz. So, and then, you know, we traded places afterwards because he comes back down. I get to clear Swamp, get nothing, really. There was really nothing in Swamp. It was just bait. I get that, and I curl around. I get to pick up like the Smith with Flute was out of the way. I got Smith, and Smith has the ice rod. I want to say Smith had something important. I remember much, right? And I keep curling around, and I took out Thieves Town. I curl around. I do all the way north over to Catfish. Catfish, I get there. Catfish has the flute. Right?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I hit basically the route. That's all that happens. Yeah. I hit the route. Yeah. Jem plays it normally and unfortunately just kind of ends up kind of last locating things like it. And you know, now that I've gotten better, I know what that feeling is.
Yep.
Right? But to me, I'm just like, all of a sudden, I'm doing this. I'm running. I'm like, hey, this is going pretty well. But I'm like, it's freaking Jem. I'm still going to lose. Well, this is going pretty well. Keep playing. Keep going. And I remember I get up to like Trinex. Jem's not done. Because I would pull up the racer. Jem's not done. I'm like, he's not done. Keep freaking going. I'm climbing GT. Look over again. Jem's still not done. He's still not done. All of a sudden, I can feel the hands start to shake a little bit. I'm like, oh, shit. Heartbeat. You know, I get up the tower, I kill Agatou, I look over, he's not done yet. I'm literally at this point like causing an earthquake in my building, and I drop into Ganon. I'm fighting Ganon. I kill Ganon, right? It's a silverless fight too. And I think I had a buddy watching me, and he had no idea what was going on. He's like, dude, you on like, because I think I kill Ganon on like one heart, just because I'm like, I am racing Jem. I cannot like, must just do this somehow, make it work somehow. And it turns out that I'm way ahead. I'm like 10 minutes ahead of Jem at least, right? Because he just had the seed from hell and I hit the god route. But I am freaking out. I get across the line, he's not done, I win, and just let out this giant fuck yeah at like 1 a.m in Korea.
That is awesome.
He was gracious, of course, because I mean, Jem was just like, hey, GG's, bud. Yeah, well done there. He was gracious, and, you know, because he's a good dude. And I'm literally, I've gone back and listened to that interview, and I'm just like a complete wreck. I'm just like, because I remember how much I was shaking like that entire time. That's what hooked me, because it was that adrenaline surge.
Yeah.
It was just candy to your veins.
I love it, man. I love it. I love, because of where you and I are at in this game, right? I had a recent loss a couple months ago or a year ago or something like that, where I lost to someone and I was pissed, just pissed that I lost. This was a ladder race. And I was, especially because I lost to like the opponent that I lost to, I was like, there's no reason for me to lose to this person because they're new or whatever. And I was just pissed. Then I went to their channel and I watched them finish, and the excitement that they had about beating me was what you're talking about, you know, this moment that you had with Jim. And it made me like sit back and realize, like, wait a second, this is cool. Like, I was able, through my loss, was able to provide this person with the opportunity to really enjoy this game. So like, who cares that I lost? You know what I mean? Like, at that moment, I was able to like let it all go and just like revel with this person that they got this victory over me, which, you know, I'm not saying I'm like God's gift to this game or anything, but to them, it was that moment. And I love those moments. I love those big moments of like, yes, I beat someone that I probably shouldn't be beating, because we've all had them, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, it's kind of funny to me. Like, I every time in season one, there in particular, every time I won, I was just like, I don't know how this is working, but I'm not going to question it too much. Right. It's working. So let's just smile, nod, and keep going.
I'm going to have to find the YouTube video to that one and find.
It's there. Trust me. I've gone back and watched it. I've gone back and watched it and just be like, God, I sucked.
Like, how did I win?
Like, my execution is awful. Like, look at this goober. What the hell is he doing?
That's hilarious.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but I kind of know what it's like. And yeah, I get the feeling now, you know, of like how it is where. It's like in my head, I'm still not good in my head. In my head.
Yeah,
right?
I feel the same way. Yep.
You know, I've had some good results, but in my head, I'm not actually good, because I know who the good people are in my head. But at the same time, I've started to realize that, yeah, I might not think I'm good, but a lot of other people actually do think I'm good, which is a weird thing for me to be like. It's like, people think I'm good at this game. Oh. Okay. Yeah. It's kind of like the same thing about like, it's like having Twitch subscribers now. It's like, people want to see me play this. Right. Like, really? All right.
That's too fun.
I mean, it's this thing that I got. I still don't understand everything about how this is working. But my mantra is just like, is it working? Yes. Keep doing it.
Yeah, okay. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's so awesome. So you team with Mystic, you team with Top Life, you make pretty good friends with this team, right? Because Top Life moved on, but you and Mystic have been together ever since.
Yeah. No, I haven't left. I mean, I've never really wanted to move on, honestly. Last season was the first time I think anybody actually considered having me on a different team. Like, I got a couple of nudges like, hey, buddy, are you interested in, you know? And I was like, that was the first time somebody did that. It was the first time I honestly had even considered it. But honestly, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Mystic. It's gonna take something pretty serious for me to drop the team. Honestly, I don't know if we get, like, we're an invitational again this year, and if we get knocked down to open, maybe I don't know, maybe I'll think about it then, because I do kind of want to play in the invitational. I kind of want that. Not to make that sound bad, but I want that challenge of really being up against someone. I wanted to go into a seed knowing I'm not the favorite.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like if I'm in open, a lot of guys, like most of the time, people would look at that and be like, oh yeah, he's the favorite. And I don't like being the favorite. It sits weird with me, especially like if I'm the favorite and then I lose, like that's tilting in my head. It's kind of like you mentioned with the you know, with your race there and ladder. It's just like when you like it's so much easier to deal with losing to, you know, like, well, who did I lose to last week in cross skis? I lost to 2C, where he decided to put a 136 on the board on a cross ski seed. I remember I'm like near go mode and something, and I'm like moving the pod wall there, and I check. I'm like, I should be fine. Oh my God, he's done. Jerk. Yeah. Give me a chance at least. You know, that one I didn't feel bad about. Like, how do you feel bad when a guy 136 is you, right?
Sure. Or how do you feel when someone does a 121 in cross skis? Oh,
that bloody seed, man. Holy God. I was wondering if we were going to get to that.
before we get to that, because you are so well known as far as a cross skis runner, I mean, the 121 definitely helps. Where does your love for cross skis come and how does that sort of develop?
League. You did it.
Was it the league? Okay.
You did it. Yeah, blaming you. Because, I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't play cross skis at all until league got announced and I had signed up for league and they're like, well, week 5 is cross skis. And I'm like, oh, God, it's what now? And so, I mean, because I remember I had tried to play one at one point, got like maybe like an hour into it and was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And week 5 of first season of league rolls around and we've got to play cross keys. So I spend a little time learning how to play cross keys and I finally get it down under 3 hours. Find Seth's tracker, which all of a sudden made cross keys not impossible.
Yeah.
Because trying to do it with like pen and paper and stuff. And oh, my God, like that. Yeah. Anybody who does that without like an actual visual tracker, I don't know how you do it. But no idea.
Yeah.
And then I started playing it and I was like, hey, you know, OK. And, you know, this is fun enough. This is fun enough. And, you know, I every once in a while I'd throw another one on for fun. And next thing I know, I'm playing it religiously and. And now that's kind of the mode that everyone, you know, knows me for and stuff is, you know, because either I'm, you know, I mean, I do a lot of the commentary on, especially for like cross skis tourney. I can't do a whole lot right now because my kid's out of school for the summer for like the next like 2 weeks. So I can't really do any commentary because, I mean, it'd be like, okay, you go play in your room for 2.5 hours. Yeah, no, that's not going to work, is it? So that's just kind of whatever it is.
It's so funny, half of my
rando journey is your fault, Fear.
That's good. I'm glad because more days is better. It's funny to think about cross keys in League in Season 1 because cross keys wasn't as normal as it is now. Like you won your race with a time of 2:50.
To be fair, that seed sucked.
Sure, but Days Cloud of 2022 doesn't finish that seed at 250, right? Like
probably
the community
not,
as,
probably
a, as a whole is so much better. I remember Ack that season got a 150 in his cross keys race, which was shocked to everyone that he was able to sub to it, which isn't, you know, it's a lot more common now than it was back when League Season 1 came around.
The current cross keys tournament, man, I'm blown away by how good everybody's gotten.
It's tough, man. I only play cross keys or entrance modes. I'm 3-2, man. I'm one game under 500 on the ladder right now in the cross keys thing. It's so hard because everyone is so good at it now.
So dang hard. I'm 3-2 as well, man. Yeah. I know the feeling. It's just like, you know, it is what it is though.
Mm-hmm. But you did get the 121. Tell us a little bit about that 121.
Pure stupid luck.
Combination like, I didn't know how you get a 121. Like that blows my mind.
It pure stupid luck. The whole seed is just pure stupid luck. Like if it's highlighted on my Twitch. It's highlighted under Dazed Rando PB. And if you want to go watch it, you can watch it and you can see just how utterly stupid lucky I am. And then, you know what the funny thing is, I actually screw the seed up a little bit. I double dipped Eastern and I double dipped Meyer in that seed. I got a pend. I killed pendant. I kill pendant. I kill a pendant boss. I don't want to spoil too much, but basically, like the seed is, I'm going to do exactly the right thing at every single single moment. I'm going to be hyper aggressive, and it's all going to work. Every decision is going to work. Like anytime that I'm going to be hyper aggressive and, you know, go into Thieves Town, great. I'm going to get the ice rod.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be hyper aggressive and go into and the other thing about it is, like, I think I have all four swords within the first like 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. Like,
wow,
I get boots out of the very first chest of the game. What's crazy is that seed has now kind of become a meme. It's just, it's kind of taken a life of its own. Like, hey, Dazed, right. You should have beaten this in 121, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was, in the main tournament, there was the Triforce text, Dazed beat the seed in 121, which someone actually did beat that seed.
I was racing a seed when that popped up on the other stream.
And you got a 121.
Oh God, that was, you know what, for everything else, for that, this 121 has given me, which is, that's number one. Like, I have a complicated relationship with that 121 because, like, I'm not going to PB, bud. I'm just not.
It creates an expectation. I'm never going to PB too, again. Right? Yeah. There's this expectation that now you have to do this for all your cross key seeds, which is unreasonable. And you're an excellent cross keys runner. I don't want to take anything away from you, but you're not getting a 121 again. Like, it's just not going to happen.
No, I'm well aware. Yeah. I mean, I think my next one is a 130 something. My next lowest is like a 130 something. I want to, you know, and like, I mean, Humbug is, I would say, a much better cross keys runner than me. He got like a 129 recently.
Mm.
And I think he basically did almost a perfect seed there. Like, I got obscenely lucky on that seed. And it's weird now. It's because it is, like you mentioned, there's a lot of weird expectations that do come out of it. You know, I mean, I have to say at least one point in if I'm playing cross keys, if I'm streaming and with the 120 mark comes up, someone's going to be like, hey, shouldn't you be done by now? And I'm just like, and in my head, you know, the first couple times it was like, ha ha ha. And now I'm just kind of like, hey, all right, fine, I'll move faster, I guess, right?
Yeah. And then you go 3-2 in the main tournament or in the cross keys tournament, and everyone's like, what's going on, right? Like,
yeah, a little bit. Well, I mean, I lost my first week, right? I lost to somebody I wasn't expecting because, that almost broke me. I'll be honest. Like, I know you always talk about tilt. I was a mess after that. You're always calm and stuff. I'm a glass box of emotion, man. I mean, geez.
Oh man.
It's just when I lost that one, Mystic had to talk me down. Clear Mouse and Will had to talk me down. Like, I was 2 seconds away from quitting Rando and wandering the planet for the next, you know, rest of my life. Like,
we've been there. Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, it was a shock to me. But it was also kind of one of those, I wasn't aggressive enough in the seed. Like, I could go back and look at it. Like, if I had just gone into Thieves Town, I probably was fine. But in my head, I went, okay, it's probably what I need is probably in GT. And I think I know where GT is. Let me go do it. I cleared an empty GT. He won by 7 minutes. Do the math.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's cross keys. It's the most, it feels, honestly to me, it still feels like it's the most random of the modes. You can get a 121 in a seed. You can also go push close to 3 hours just because you did it wrong that day.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, literally right before we did this interview, I lost a race. partially because I chose the back of Pod. I chose Harmless Hellway as opposed to the vanilla big key chest. You know, you have four keys, and you got to choose one of them, and because you need to kill the boss. And I chose the back, and so Mario was in the front. And I'm not sure if that's the full reason I lost, but it didn't help. I'll say that I had to come back for it way later in the seed. I kind of relate to those feelings of like, man, you just sometimes you choose wrong and it doesn't go your way.
Oh man, yeah, it's hard. Like you get into this thing. And especially if you're playing competitively, like if you're playing, if you're just playing for fun, you're just kind of doing whatever, you know, Seed gives you a crap there. You can always just say, well, no, screw you, Seed. And you can just turn the sucker off.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're racing, turning the thing off feels weird to me. Mm-hmm. I almost did it last night, though. I had a casual boot Seed that just sucked. And shout out to Magnet Hands for handing me my ass on a silver platter there, but you know, it's just kind of what it is. Like if you're gonna let every, I mean, I will admit that I've had two bad Seeds in a row. And right now I'm very salty towards the game, and I'm more than likely not going to pick it up tonight. I'm probably going to watch TV all night because I just got into Ted Lasso, and holy crap, that's an amazing show.
It's one I keep hearing I need to get into. Yeah,
dude, I binged the first four episodes. I went to bed at 2:30 last night. I did not make great decisions, but I did at the same time.
Yeah, yeah,
because it was a great show. I had a lot of time. I'm just really tired today. But yeah, you got to come back from it at some point. That's just all it is. Yeah. You're gonna have to just kind of come back from it.
Who are some of the people in the community that you look up to, or are people that you, the ones that you look up to or strive to be like?
Zelga, probably first and foremost. I mean, like, I know when I interviewed you, you said the same thing. I mean, dude is nicest man in Rando, I'd say. I remember if we were talking about like things where it kind of got away from, you know, like moments where you kind of almost feel starstruck. I remember the first time he appeared in my chat and I just was like, oh, it's Zelga. Dante, also kind of the same thing, just because they're buds at this point. Yeah. You know, they're buds. So there's that, like from a gameplay standpoint, there's that. Back in the day, I haven't seen him play as much recently. Dwayne as well, really used him to do that. If I need to figure out why my execution's being so bad, I'll go toss on an airy stream and kind of watch what he's doing and just like marvel at how the game is supposed to look. When it comes to people that like, you know, like right now, I'd say like ClearMouse and Will WC are like, we've kind of made our own little group at some point with a lot of commentary and stuff like that, where we all, you know, hang out and talk and stuff. I mean, and of course, Mystic and Chimo, you know, Leftovers Forever. Oh, God, that's our team name of the year.
Nice.
Oh, there you are. That's good. Right there. It's just like I could literally rattle off names for like half an hour. It's just I've been around this for so long at this point. I think I'm probably gonna come up on 5 years here pretty soon. And it's just like who's not at this point?
All right. So I've kept you longer than I keep most guests, but we have to finish with the tilt question. You know, it's coming. So you just talked about it. You experienced it just recently with that first week of cross keys. How do you handle tilt? How do you handle it? How do you get over it? How do you manage it? How do you get past it?
This is the thing is I know this question is coming.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I've asked myself this question. I've practiced answering this question. And now that you've asked this question, everything that I had thought of to say of wise yeah. words of, you know, to pass on to the next generation of rando, none of it. Yeah, it's all bloody gone. How do I deal with tilt? Honestly, go for a walk, get out, get away from the game for like a couple of hours. Honestly, a lot of what I do right now, a lot of the community that I'm around right now is rando related. For it, when I've had a real rough one, if I've had a really bad one, it's probably, you know, people will be like, dude, you okay? Some people know me that know that I can be, especially, you know, especially Mystic and Chimo. I've seen it more recently of me like losing my mind, you know, after a thing, and you know, and occasionally they'll be like, dude, you're all right. That was a tough one, you know. And, you know, talk to your buds, things, and then just remember there's another seed, and it doesn't matter. Like, it legitimately does not matter. Like, that's what it comes down to. Like, it's, we are playing a dumb game. That is really what it is. We are just playing a dumb game. So you can, I'm still bummed about the week one result that I had. I'm not happy that I lost. I would like to be 4-1, but I mean, if I was 4-1, that would be a completely different universe. I'm 3-2. I have to accept what I am. And just if you're not having fun, stop doing it.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at some point, you know? So, you know, take a break, do what you need to do, and come back to it if you feel like coming back. And if you don't feel like coming back, ain't no problem walking away.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And I think understanding that it's okay to be angry that you lost or upset that you lost, right? That's not tilt, right? Being upset that you lost is not tilting. It's when it becomes more, right? I think that's the thing that I... I'm going to talk for myself, I struggle with, and I feel like through the podcast and through talking with other people and kind of understanding my own sensibilities, I've kind of been able to come to grips with, I lost. That really fucking sucks, man. Right? Like, that's okay. But don't let it take it away from me. Don't let, you know, take a break, but don't leave the game. We need today's clouds here. You know what I mean?
That's nice of you to say, yeah. But I mean, yeah, sometimes you just kind of like I've always kind of left the door open that one day I am going to retire. I'm going to stop doing this. And that might be it. That is always an option that's on the table to me. If I want, I can stop. Do I want to stop? Nah. Yeah. I'm having fun. I am having fun doing this. I mean, even when the seed decides that, hey, you're going to put your hammer on Magic Bat after Aga 2, you know, after Aga 1 in a Krosky seed, and you're going to just absolutely hate it, and Data's going to crush it because of it, you know.
Yeah.
That happens. And you just kind of have to say, all right, one of these days, it's going to be on the other foot.
Yeah.
You
know,
you having a bad run. Let it run out. It might get better. Might not. It might.
Yeah. Well, thanks for doing this, man. We went way over, and I apologize for taking up so much of your time. And I feel like we really didn't even get passed into, like, you know, the later seasons of the league and you becoming an admin of the Cross Keys tournament and all that kind of stuff. There's so many things that I wish we could get to, but I've taken up way too much of your time.
Dude, I would do this for another 3 hours if you wanted to. Honestly, I'm having so much fun right now.
You know what?
Thanks for having me, man.
I haven't done this before. Let's keep going. We're going to go a little longer. Let's go longer.
Let's do it, baby. My wife is going to be so happy.
My wife asked me before, how long does this usually take? I'm like, an hour. Well, we're going long.
That's what
today.
I told her too, right?
Yeah, we're buckling. We're going longer. So let's get into the league. Top Life ends up leaving, and you replace him with Chimo. How did that come about, and how the relationship with Chimo kind of develop?
Me and Mystic literally were just like looking at each other because we knew Top Life was going to leave after, you know, in the middle of season, like at the beginning of season two. And I was kind of holding out because me and Top are pretty close, right? Mm-hmm. I realized pretty early on he was serious. I still needled him trying to get him to stay. I knew he was serious. The time zones for our team just were unworkable. Yep. And so I didn't blame him. Yep. I didn't have any problem with him leaving. But I remember me and Mystic kind of looking at each other going like, Top's really good at this game. Mm-hmm. Who the heck can we get to replace him? And we kind of put out a call like, hey, who would be willing to join? Would anybody be willing to take Top's place on our team, right? And Chimo was one of the guys who said, yeah, I'd be in. And I think I remember just like, looking through and just being like, yeah, Chimo, totally. He's good. Let's get him. Yeah, I don't know how to explain his results. Like, the main tournament, he always goes deep, like really deep into the main tournament. At least in the last two, he's gone real deep into the main tournament. And like, he is good. He's definitely an underrated runner. So, we were very happy to get him to join up with us. And we ended up getting put in open league there for season three and kind of waltzed through the regular season in open league season three.
Yeah.
And then
for some reason I assumed you guys were invitational, but season three went by season two records. Mm-hmm. So, there's certain teams that were automatically qualified and your guys' record in season two was 7-7. And so you literally missed the cut. Yeah, you missed the cut by one game. Like, I think all 8-6 teams got invitations into season three. So you go into the open and you guys, yeah, that first season, that's how we determined the invitational. But you guys killed it in the open, right? It's 12-2. You went 6-2 and 7-1, 6-2.
And the loss that I had in my mysteries week there is to someone of consequence now. Because it turns out there might have been some shenanigans going on behind the.
Which one was that? Was that?
That's against Boulder.
The Boulder, that's right.
Yeah, he did some stuff. So, you know, that's like, at this point, I'm kind of going like, how legit is that?
Right. Yeah, when someone comes out as a cheater, it's like, when were they cheating? And was it against me for sure?
Yeah. So, I mean, either way. So we did that and then we run up against, I forget the team. It was McMonkey, CJ and Irritable Penguin. I don't
Hyrule Order.
Yeah. That was what it was. Right.
Yeah.
And, I remember that was another one where I felt like I got tilted because, I knew CJ was good. And then when he beat me, league puts a weird level of stress on it for me. Like it's an additional, it's one thing if I'm losing in a main tournament, cause that's just me.
Right.
But when it's a league match and I feel like I've let the team down, that's worse.
Really? Cause I'm almost the other way. I mean, maybe not. Maybe I agree with you there, but there's something about the camaraderie of a team that almost feels like it makes it okay. But I get what you're saying. Like you feel like you let your other partners down where with the single, with the main tournament or whatever, it's just you and you just let down the people that you're that are fans of you or whatever. Whereas this, you actually have two members who are relying on you. But I find that the league and the teammates usually are positive in helping you with those losses, right?
Oh, that was in my head. That wasn't in the team. Yeah. That was in my head, right?
Right.
Like the team, like Chimo and Mystic, they were fantastic about it. They're like, no, don't worry, we'll pick it up. And then, I mean, all right, shout outs to CJ for his unbelievably ridiculous play that worked in the his race against Chimo there to in game four to keep it from going to a game five, where he just go modes Meyer in a key sanity race, and there was zero thing as in Meyer ends up pulling ahead of Chimo there. You want to talk about tilt, man? I was throwing things at the end of that. but then I ended up talking to CJ afterwards. He sent me a message. I think it probably got to him that I was like, or he'd watch back. He sent me a message afterwards. Turns out he's an amazing dude.
And, yeah, for sure.
My tilt went away after about like a day there, you know, like that was the other thing is I think we kind of were expecting to really wanting to make it back to the Invitational. And then when we lost there, that technically mean we wouldn't get the automatic invite back into the Invitational. Right. And so it was just kind of like, it was levels of frustration at that point.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, trying to win that spot back into the Invitational. But you do get invited back into the Invitational for season four.
Mm-hmm.
How are you guys feeling about that?
Nervous, to be honest. Yeah, I think all of us kind of we just kind of like looked around and just went, when did this become so unbelievably scary? Because we looked at our division. And we saw that there was just, I don't think there was a single week where we were a favorite. It was just like we were looking at it and just going like, oh, okay, so there's Hitsu, there's Tam, there's P-Train, there's Zero Rush there. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is going to be hard. This is going to be real hard. And we won enough, you know, so we're still in it for next year. We avoided relegation, but I think all of us kind of looked at each other and we go like, we might get relegated here. chance.
Yeah. I mean, so Chimo had a rough season, 0-7. You went 3-4 and Mystic went 1-5. You guys finished one spot above Les French Canadiens.
Mm-hmm.
Or who ended up getting relegated. And it looks like you played them in the last week and took a game off of them. So if you lost both of those, you guys actually would have been relegated. What were the thoughts going into those final weeks? And did, as a team that was close to relegation, is that good or bad for the league? Or what are your thoughts there?
Okay, so going into that last week, like we knew, we were well aware of our predicament there. We knew where we were, and we went into it going like we don't want to get relegated, but it's like Ninban, Rywek, and A-Rod, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, I don't know. Like in my head, I'm going, all right, so here's like in the way that we ended up approaching that week is I was going to run one with Mystic, right? Mm-hmm. And me and him had been doing it forever, so we were like, okay, we're going to run this one because it's the Enemizer boots one, right? Mm-hmm. And we knew that the first opponent that we were going to face was Ninban and A-Rod, so. Basically, I kind of went like, all right, here's how we're going to do this, bud. I'm going to try to beat Ninban. You try to beat A-Rod. Yeah. And we're going to hope. That's how it's going to go. I'm going to try to keep up with Ninban. You try to keep up with A-Rod. And that's about it. Right. And luckily, I think we hit just a little bit better of a route. And so I remember when I finished first there, it was just like a massive relief because I don't know what we would have done if we had lost that one. I don't know if we would have been like me and Chimo looking at each other going like, do we go together? Because I think there was some, I don't really remember at this point. I think there was some talk about maybe we were going to try to stack me and Chimo in if it was going to go do or die or something, but like I ended up playing like every week that season just because of, I think Chimo had like a vacation or something. So I had to fill in a little bit there. But it was intense. It was intense, mm-hmm. but it was a sense of relief, sense of accomplishment in a weird mm-hmm. way of not getting relegated.
Sure. I mean,
it's good times though. It's good times.
So the leftovers are coming back for season 5. Is that the plan?
Oh yeah. We ain't going nowhere.
Okay. Expectations mm-hmm. for the season with the modes revealed and everything now?
Mystic's going to surprise somebody with Swordless.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'll say that. I love the entrance, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, as I would. I'm glad that Open is gone in a weird way.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I just find Open Seeds to be infuriating in a weird way. Mm-hmm. I like my seeds with a hefty level of BS on top.
Spoken as a true Cross Keys fan.
Yeah. So I mean, an Open Seed to me is just like, yeah, all right, whatever. It's gonna be fun, man. Expectations, I don't know. We could get relegated, we could, you know, surprise some people. Things will happen.
Yeah, I'm excited for what the leftovers come back with for season 5. I expect big things. You got, you know, 3 good, really good runners. Invitational's tough, but I mean, your team's good. There's no reason that you couldn't make the playoffs.
We'll see. See what the admins give us, you know. Mm-hmm. See how scary the other teams are, because they're going to be scary. There's everybody's really good at the game.
Yeah, that's the problem, is everyone else is just as good. All right, we'll wrap it up with this. Where do you see the community as a whole right now? Is Rando in a good spot? Were you ever part of the council? Did you ever want to join the council or anything like that?
I'm a part of the council now, actually.
Oh, you are? This is how plugged into the council I am. So tell me about joining the council and why you want to join the council and how that's been going.
Dante poked me at one point. He says, hey, you should join the council. And I was like, do I want to join the council? He's like, you should join the council. And that was literally kind of like how it went. You should join the council. I was like, I mean, I don't really have a lot to offer. He's like, join the council. I was like, all right, I'll put in an application. I put in the application. I got approved. That's how I joined the council. And honestly, that's how everything's happened for me. Like mm-hmm. I'm mod in the league right now. And that's because they were like, hey, you want to be a mod? Yeah. All right. Admin for Cross Keys. Hey, you want to be admin? Yeah. All right. That's kind of how it works. I haven't really like gone looking for any of that. It's just like, I don't really, but as far as like the I mean, the league's, everything's in a healthy spot right now, I'd say. I mean, there's some, it's inevitable when you have a community of this size, there's going to be some drama. There's going to be some stuff going around. Of course there is, mm-hmm. right? There's things going on right now that I wish weren't going on. But all in all, it's not that big of a deal. So we're going to, you know, I feel like everything will just kind of keep on going with itself. The tournaments bring a ton of new people in. I've seen some other randomizers, you know, ALTTPR just kind of fits in this perfect zone, I feel like, where enough things change that it's different every time, but not so much changes that it's a completely unfamiliar experience, you know. You can typically finish one of these in around 2 hours, which for, you know, anybody, and, you know, especially people of our age, you know, like, when do you really have 2 hours to sit down and dedicate to something? Like, if you ask me, more than 2 hours, that's the reason I've never gotten into, you know, Ocarina of Time rando. It's just like, hey, do you like playing 4 hours on a seed?
Right.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
And it's, so, you know, it's just, I think everything's going well. I mean, I don't know how much longer I will be part of the part of everything. At some point, I feel like I'm probably just going to maybe just kind of play Cross Keys Seeds by myself at some point. I'm finding recently that I've been enjoying not streaming as much and just kind of playing a Cross Keys Seed by myself with like a, you know, a tasty beverage Sure. Kind of chilling out, you know, still trying to go fast, but at the same time, not really worrying so much about results.
Yeah.
But,
there's something healthy about that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think everything's going to be great, but
I think it shows the quality of your character, honestly, Days. And I know this has been a lot of flattery for you and you don't know how to take it, but
yep, exactly.
you know, everyone keeps asking you to be a part of their thing because of who you are, right? Like, you didn't really have a desire to be on the council, but Dante knows the value that you bring. The Crosskeys admins knows the value that you bring. The league knows the value that you bring to whatever organization is running it. And I think that take pride in that. There's a quality of character there. You know, you bring a steadiness and wisdom and a deep voice. So
the deep voice is the winner right there. I think we've come full circle there. Although I will say, I wish I did more in the Crosskeys admin thing, but like those guys are just so fast on things and a lot of stuff happens while I'm asleep. So it's always like, oh, I need this async. And like Alison or Wally or Nori are already on it. And I'm just like, I would like to help as well, but you've already done it. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over.
I'll leave you with the apology that I owe you for the league season 2 race that I had against JTB. do you remember this situation?
Oh, of course I remember that, bud. Your amazing interview, man. The amazing interview you gave me. That was amazing. You sent me an apology. You already sent me an apology about that. You don't.
I need to make a point. I need to make sure people know how sorry I was, because I win this race. It's the playoffs, and I got salty. In the win, I got tilted in the win about, I was just tired of hearing how lucky we were. Mm-hmm. And, cause you know, luck is part of the game, but there's skill to it, right? Like it does take skill.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And I just kind of got tired of hearing about the luck, and boy, did that haunt me for the next three years. You know, I kind of embraced it, but I felt, you know, I did this interview with you and Neon Tiger again, Neon Tiger being one of the nicest people in the community as far as commentators go, and you guys did a heck of a job, but I come in hot and I was relentless. And then afterwards, after I cooled down, I remember sending you and Neon Tiger an apology. I might even send one to JTB, I'm not sure, but yeah, that was a rough one.
I mean, I understood, honestly. I mean I was in the community enough to know that, you know, people were unfairly were not giving you your due. Like, you guys weren't just being lucky. You were also damn good at the game. So, like, you know, it's like, I could understand, like, when you were doing it. I just remember, like, originally, I was, like, going into the interview, and then you kind of gave me that response. I'm like, all right, let me try this angle. And you gave me just lucky. And I was just like, at some point, I realized, okay, he's doing a thing. I got this.
Yeah.
And I was just like, all right, man. Cool. And then, you know, we just whatever there.
Yeah.
It was
a moment that'll live in for me, but.
You're good, dude. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, I had you there along for the ride. And again, thanks for doing the show, man. Thanks for, just being a part of the community, an awesome member of this community. I can't thank you enough.
Dude, thanks for having me on, dude. This was fun. And I'm proud to probably be the first person to break the 90-minute mark. Let's do it, buddy.
Again, I just want to thank Dave for coming on the show. And I apologize that the show went long. I hope you enjoyed it. Dave and I could keep going. And I don't know. I just have a really fun time talking with Dace. Again, using that word fun, I got to come up with a new adjective. All right, next week on the show, we'll be back on Monday, no Thursday episode this week, with Scottish Brave. And I am super excited to talk with Scottish Brave. She is a blast on stream. She's been tearing it up in the tournaments. And I feel like she's relatively new. She's been around for a little bit, but she came in guns a-blazing. And I can't wait to talk with her and hear her story. Be prepared. There's going to be a lot of swearing on that episode. That just comes along with Scottish Brave, and I love it. So Monday, Scottish Brave, be back for that. 216 Weekly again is going to be this week. Forgot to mention, we will be playing Invrosia as chosen by Ninjembro. Apparently, that's his favorite mode. We'll be doing that again, noon Eastern on Saturday, restreamed at twitch.tv/fearagent_. Races open end to anyone. We had I think 11 this week, so plus 3. Hoping people are having fun with the 216 Weekly. Posting that on YouTube as well, so if you don't get a chance to watch it live, you can watch the VOD over there. Make sure to join the Discord. 216pod.com has the link to the Discord and everything that you could need, a link to the store, even get your 216 and Fear Agent merchandise over at the store. We're having a good time at the Discord. Love to hear what you think about when these shows drop. We have the 216 fantasy team. We're going to be doing some fantasy football over there. That's going to be a lot of fun as well. Talking sports, talking podcasts, talking game, doing some NMG. Lots of stuff going on at the Discord, so make sure you join. Again, 216pod.com is the place to be. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast, Apple Music, Spotify. We're available all over the place. I think that's going to do it. So come back next week for Scottish Brave next Monday. See you next week.